Hi, this is Ando, and you're listening to The Simpleton.
Well, hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, from Germany, Berlin, or Berlin in Germany,
yes,
is Scott Gall. Scott, how are you?
Grand. How are you?
Good. Was it good to hear Ando's voice just then?
Wasn't it wonderful to... Well, yeah. I didn't. You're going to add the segue later, but yes. No,
don't. Break through the fourth wall, Scott. How many times do I need to tell you? Wonderful to hear his voice. Look, it's been quite a while since we last podcast, Scott. I think it was roughly, was it 5 days ago? Was it 5 days ago?
It's been five something.
5 days, weeks or months, I can't quite recall. But I tell you what, you know, thank you to our two Patreons for really hanging in there.
It did
with us
dip
the whole time.
It did dip, Daniel.
It dipped briefly, but you know, as things stand here in April 2018, we have two patrons, and without them, we couldn't. Well, without them, I couldn't buy a can of Coke, two potato cakes, and sometimes a dim sim.
So, you know, I've long suspected, I have to ask you this now, are you one of them?
No, Scott, I'm...
You're not?
Why would I do that? I've been bankrolling this whole operation off my own back for years now.
Yeah.
Why would I... No, Scott, it's just stupid. Stupid.
Right, had to ask.
But we appreciate the support, and if you're listening to this right now and you want to support us, please visit patreon.com/simpletonpodcasts and give us... all the spare disposable income that you have. It will go a long way to making Scott and I wealthier than we are now. So, look, it's been, let's not beat around the bush, Scott. It's been 5 months. It's been 5 months since we last recorded the
podcast. Five big ones, Daniel. Woo! Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, no. If we receive $5,000 from a Patreon subscriber, that would be awesome. That would be five big ones. No, this is just, look, I don't want to beat around the bush here, Scott. I'll just lay it out bare for all our listeners and simpletons out there to deal with. As you know, Richmond won the AFL Grand Final, and I decided to catch up with Ando to celebrate. And now I've finished catching up with Ando, we can get back on with the podcast. So without further ado, I believe that the first item on what is an action-packed agenda is the World Report.
Oh, yeah, Daniel. And it's quite a milestone today. It's a 75th episode. Did you know that?
Oh, episode 75.
Yep. Yeah. The Friendship Bridge.
Yeah, that just means we've done 75 episodes. It's no big deal.
So. Yeah, good point. The Friendship Bridge.
Yeah. Oh, did you just say Friendship Bridge? Because I can barely hear you.
The Friendship Bridge, Daniel.
Scott, you wonderful son of a bitch, you've done it.
Yeah, all right. That reaction's a little bit strange, I guess.
Well, week after week, month after month, year after year, the World Report has been utterly shithouse. But I tell you what, Scott, this is exactly the kind of story we ought to be running with more often. Mm-hmm. The construction of the China, the Vanuatu vehicle and footbridge is not only current, with construction only just getting underway, Scott, but it's a lovely little follow-up to your report a few, probably 6 months back. About the ongoing friendship between the two countries.
Take pause, Daniel.
Take pause
before you speak any further. I know nothing of this project of which you speak. but it sounds like even more, if I do say so myself, of a logistical nightmare. No, this doesn't involve Vanuatu, Daniel, at all, although you are right about one thing, namely the involvement of China.
Okay, so it doesn't involve Vanuatu.
No.
It only involves China. Okay, so you must be talking about the China-Maldives Friendship Bridge, yeah?
That's
not as current, yep. Although granted construction has not yet been completed, but that's it, isn't it? So, all right. Scott,
yep.
Enthrall me. What's the latest?
Yeah. The latest is that the Maldives Housing Minister, Mohamed Muiz, has recently, as in November last year, returned from a five-day visit to China, in which he observed that number five just keeps popping up, doesn't it, Daniel? A five-day visit to China.
Well, you know, surely the bridge is completed by now, and there's people walking and driving on it and have been for several months because, you know, 5 months ago was the latest update.
Al contraire, Daniel.
Let
me continue. In which he observed construction of steel box girder beams for the bridge. Yo.
Right. Oh, that's why he went there? That's why he went on the five-day...
You betcha.
Yeah?
Yep. So what of it?
So that was it?
Yes, that was it. What are you getting at here?
Please go on.
What are you getting at? All right. As he was leaving for China, Mr. Muiz told reporters he was going to, quote, watch the fabrication work at the factory, seek detailed information, meet with engineers, and see how the work is going, unquote. Daniel. What? I can see you building, your skepticism's building. What's up?
Well, no, don't take it the wrong way, Scott. There's nothing wrong with the story. Nothing wrong with it. Proceed.
Yeah, well, what is wrong? You're getting at something.
Well, couldn't he have just done all that via email?
That's a fair point. That is actually, that's a good point.
You know, as for the name, you know, Friendship Bridge.
Yeah, what about that then? It's nice.
Well, it's a little flowery, isn't it?
Go on. How? What do you mean? What's better?
Well, don't get me wrong once again, Scott. Don't get me wrong once again. But it's great that the two countries are friends, yeah?
Yeah, they want to be too, to build such a massive bridge like that one, let me tell you.
Yes, Scott. No, 1.4 kilometres is big, Scott, but not that big.
Oh, 1.4 kilometres, you say?
Yeah, I mean, why... Hang on. Scotty boy.
Yeah.
The bridge doesn't actually connect China with the Maldives. It simply doesn't.
Then
fucking idiot.
Why would they call it that then?
Well, that's what I was just asking, Scott. Mm-hmm. Look, the two countries are not only separated by other countries, but thousands of miles or thousands of kilometers of ocean.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, my naive little friend. No, the so-called Friendship Bridge with the link to the capital of the Maldives, which is, of course, what's the capital of the Maldives?
The capital of the Maldives is Bakakali.
Yeah, connecting that place to the airport. It will also involve other little details such as the construction of an artificial island and permanent relocation of 70% of the nation's total population.
I was quite aware of those elements, Daniel, and was going to get to them.
Okay, look, it's been 5 months. The recording device that I have to hear to record my end of the podcast, Scott, is literally covered in dust.
Yes.
And I've only half dusted it off. So it's been a while. You might be a little bit scratchy. You might be, slightly more shit-house than usual. But on this occasion, Scott, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I appreciate that. And let me tell you, the $200 million bridge funded by China is apparently running ahead of schedule and is due for completion in mid-2018, Daniel, 018.
Yeah, you're right about that, Scott. So that's like any week now. but it's really all about Huhumali, isn't it, Scott?
The artificial islands.
Yeah, it's currently being worked on and will be a suburb of sorts for the capital city. And it's here where the government plans to relocate 70% of the nation's total population. Am I wrong, Scott? Am I wrong?
No. there are some points that you and I ought to be making about this, Daniel. For our Australian listeners, of which I believe there are several, could you make a comparison?
Probably eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
Right. Is Mick one of them?
I would doubt it.
I would doubt that too, very much. For them, though, Daniel, the relocation of 70% of the Maldives population to the artificial island, could you make a comparison of how that would look in Australia if it were to happen in Australia?
Not only can I make a comparison of how it would look in Australian terms, I can make a comparison of how it would look in world terms. So, Hoppers Crossing, Scott?
Know it.
Lovely little bush town that was basically a place where gold miners on the way out to the gold fields up in Ballarat would stop for a smoko, a cup of tea, a bit of damper, and a shit on the way up to the gold fields.
And the tunnel? Well, they drop in at the tunnel on the way? Is that out there?
No tunnel at Hoppers Crossing, Scott.
No.
Right. We're not going in there.
All right.
It's basically 4.8 kilometres across and 8 point whatever kilometres it is the other way. Imagine relocating 70% of Australia's population to Hoppers Crossing. That's what we're talking about here with the Maldives, Scott.
Forcibly.
Same thing.
It sounds forcible. What if you were ordered to move to Hoppers Crossing?
I would shoot myself. then live in Hoppers Crossing. Look, I'm pretty confident, Scott. Actually, I would say I'm very confident that we don't actually have any listeners at Hoppers Crossing.
Yeah, we had a mate that went to school out there, but no listeners.
Did I?
Oh, we had a mate. Hoppers Crossing Tech went out there.
Oh, right, you're making it up. Okay, yeah, we did. Scott, I wouldn't want to go to Hoppers Crossing. I much prefer to be where I am now, amongst 30% of the elite that won't actually be shipped off to Hoppers Crossing.
Right, good. The population of the Maldives?
I think it's about 30,000. Yeah.
31,000 according to the last census taken in 1921. So, 31,000 as of last count, Daniel. How many islands are there?
31,000, Scott. So there's actually an island for each person.
That isn't that...
Which must be just must be Nirvana.
And what is the – what I want to put it to you this way, okay? So you hear of people visiting the Maldives. What if they only go to one island? They can't say that I visited the Maldives. What then?
They just say that they visited a Maldive.
A Maldive.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't you have a joke about this in the run-through?
I did have a joke about it, but then I've been thinking about it between the first run-through and the actual recording. And I was thinking that, I might come across as a bit of a if I say that. So I'm not going to say that.
Okay? That's good thinking, Daniel.
You know what it is? It's a sign of maturity, Scott. You know, I think we're both getting older and wiser.
40, eh? Turning 40, eh?
Unbelievable.
Always thought that'd be that sort of thing that only happens to other people, huh?
Yeah, 40. I mean, you know, as you know, Scott, you and I have both been chick magnets our whole lives. once you reach 40, things just change a little bit, you know.
They do.
Women don't look at you the same way. You just blend into the background. You know, your hair is grey and you get hair growth in your ears for some unexplicable reason. Your nostril hairs just go ape shit.
Yep.
And you just find yourself looking at parking signs for half an hour because you struggle in your feeble mind, your feeble, aged mind, to work out what the parking signs actually say when you pull up for a car park. It's all downhill from here, Scott.
It's all downhill from here. I'll tell you another thing, Daniel. A couple of years ago, bleached the hair blonde.
I'll tell you what,
you won't catch me doing that when I'm 40.
You shouldn't have done it when you were 30, Scott.
No.
But don't do it when you're 40, mate.
Actually, don't
wear any sort of colour at all.
What about an earring? I was thinking, now that I turned 40 recently, you did, I guess, last year. I was thinking of getting an earring. now?
Yeah, you could get yourself an earring, Scott. Were you thinking a nipple or penis just, or
no. Too conservative. No. Just a stud.
Well, I don't think a guy calling himself a stud anymore, Scott. But I think an earring probably wouldn't help on that front either. Look, I think those days are well past us.
Daniel, it doesn't all have to be about the gaffes. I'm having a serious talk to you. The latest survey from the Simpleton podcast editorial team showed us that 80% of our listenership is aged from 40 and higher, and the rest are teenagers. So I'm trying to have a serious discussion now about how you deal with aging.
Do you remember when we were 19 or 20 and we used to hit the clubs week in, week out, and we would just stand there awkwardly in the corner, you know, basically suffering from industrial deafness. The atmosphere was hot, humid, the floor was sticky. We didn't know how to drink, and so we certainly didn't know how to hold our liquor. And we just wake up the next morning sweaty, hungover, smelling of smoke.
Fatigued.
And not at all sexually satisfied. So I would actually prefer to stick my head in an industrial dryer than relive those days again. So thank God we're at this stage of life, Scott, not back at that one.
Scott? Here.
Time for an ad.
Oh.
Time for an ad.
Okay.
Are you losing the eternal battle for the soul of your garden? Are the weeds just getting you down? If so, then, boy, have I got some wonderful news for you. Say goodbye to the weeds in your garden and hello to WMD. That name again? WMD. Weeds Must Die is the culmination of almost 2 weeks of intensive scientific research. The Testru Doxetin-based formula is guaranteed to put your weeds straight onto death row with a simple spray from a distance of no more than 10 centimeters. WMD. This innovative product comes in plastic aerosol bottles in two sizes, 195 milliliters and 200. Priced at $5.95 and $5.99 respectively, taking care of your weeds in an effective manner has never been easier. Plus, if you're not satisfied with the performance of WMD, you'll get 20% off the retail price of the next bottle that you purchase. WMD. Those weeds just don't stand a chance.
This product may result in brain damage.
Okay, thank you to WMD, our proud sponsor.
Mm.
Scott, I believe over the last 5 months or so, you've been working on what you call here on the running sheet a special segment.
Yeah, to get into the spirit of Halloween, which recently passed, what I did was...
Recently, November 1st, is it?
Something like that.
October 31st, late October, early November, yeah?
Something like that, yep. What I did was pull a spooky story from the Reddit Let's Not Meet Again collection. Are you familiar with that series, Daniel?
No idea, mate. As far as I'm concerned, Reddit's just a sinkhole for low lives. But that's where you came across it, is it?
That's where I came across it, and you're right about Reddit. That's where I came across it. There's one
section.
Spend
much time in there, do you, Scott?
No, not really, but... I
just enough.
Just enough to source material, you know, at times. Such as this. People, what they do is they send in stories that are allegedly authentic, but you can make your own mind up with varying levels of apparent authenticity, and they're narrated. Yeah. I guess
we'll roll it.
Roll it. Yeah.
Okay.
I decided to go hiking along the Boho South to Violetown Trail. My girlfriend didn't want to come, so I decided to go alone for the night. I hiked about half the trail on the first day and set up camp in a clearing just off the trail. I was well prepared. That night I smoked joint after joint as I sat by the campfire, also drinking about 8 beers. Stoned beyond belief and pissed, I headed out into the woods to take a dump. I then retired into my tent. I woke up after about an hour to a strange noise. I exited my tent and shunned my flashlight. It was a large grizzly bear taking a dump on the edge of the campsite. So I smoked four more joints and knocked back a couple more beers before heading back to my tent. But just before I did so, I saw a raven standing near the campfire and just staring at me while taking a dump. After about an hour, I woke up again and had this weird feeling that something was outside. I exited my tent and vomited. I was stoned beyond belief and had drunk way, way too much beer. After doubling over, I straightened back up and looked out into the dark woods. I had the strangest feeling that I was being watched. Then, I thought I saw a moving shadow out in the trees. I'm almost sure it was a man. The next morning, junk sick and hungover like never before, I packed up my campsite and booked it for my car, hot-tailing it the hell out of there. So, creepy stalking man out there in the woods, let's not meet again.
Yeah.
So you got that from Reddit, did you?
Got it from Reddit. Oh, well, got it from Reddit, and we had our own personnel narrate it, Daniel. Copyright reasons.
So how much did that cost? Because, you know, finances are a continual struggle here.
Struggle. Hasn't been much.
That's why we're asking people to contribute via patreon.com /simpletonpodcast. So how much did that cost?
Three or four figures. Four. And one of the figures might have been an eight. Could have been the first figure.
This is what's going to happen, Scott. You and I, after this podcast, are going to have a conversation, okay?
Man.
Let's move on to the sports report.
There is none this week. I'm working on one. Working on the finer details, but it's not ready for this week.
Hang on, wait a sec. You've had 5 months to work on a sports report and you haven't come up with one.
Yeah, no defense.
I have to ask you, what have you been doing with your time?
What I have been doing, I've written 60 episodes for a brand new segment. Sorry, 60 segments, Daniel, for a brand new segment. I've written them, 60 scripts rather, for a brand new segment, and this is number one
there
coming
in the end.
Got there. A brand new segment.
All right. It's a new segment. What have you got for us?
It's titled Scott's Handy and Innovative Truths. As I said, this is part one of 60 segments.
Shit.
Hmm? What do you mean?
The contrived title is a giveaway, Scott. You've clearly just cobbled together a bunch of loosely connected words in order to build an anagram of shit.
I have
which
too.
Which is very, feigned surprise. I don't see that in the running Scott.
No. That was not intentional.
fucking bullshit. Very undergraduate, Scott, and I'm not impressed, and I'm sure the listener out there is not impressed either.
Again, not intentional, but
I'll tell you what, Scott, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Now get on with the segment, for fuck's sake.
It was pre-recorded.
Well, roll it then.
Okay. So I caught a bus the other day. Take me on a one-way trip to Carrum Downs, I said to the driver. That'll be €2.20, he said. So, you know what I did? I whipped out my wallet, handed him over a tenner. A note. Ten note. Sorry, can't change that. You got any change? Yeah, I guess so. So I take a look at my wallet. My wallet was positively bulging with coins. That's what I call shrapnel. So I hand him over the money, and no change is necessary. But it ain't pretty. Worst of all, there's plenty more where that came from. True dinks. So it got me thinking. This note's too big. No change for that. Plenty of change for this. Can you pay in smaller bills? Can I have some change, please? Oh, I don't believe I can give you change for that. Maybe I could. But then I won't have any left. So, the question is, how do you cut down on the amount of change you have to carry without actually needing much change at all? And you know what? Here's my solution. What if every number between 1 and 100 had its own coin? And what if every number between 1 and 100 also had its own note? Why, that'll be $82.47, please. So you open up your wallet, you hand over an $82 note and a 47 cent coin. Ha, pretty simple, eh? Never again will you have to worry about having too much change, or not enough change for that matter. So what'll that come to, Weta? $74.63, sir. All right, here's a $74 bill and... Oh, I don't seem to have a 63 cent coin. Could I give you 3 19s and a 6? That'll be fine. I think you see where I'm going with this. You're a good man.
People, here's the crux of the matter. It just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? No more complicated matters to deal with, like rounding to the nearest five. And if someone wants to charge you $48.99, you can give them exactly what they were asking for with just one note and one coin. Tell you what, fat lot of good getting rid of the 1 cent and 2 cent pieces did. Haha, talk about a pyrrhic victory. So there's my answer to the whole spare change problem. It's simple, it's practical, you know you love it, and you know it makes sense. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, not a pun. Scott, that was the first of 60, did you say?
All written and ready to record.
Excellent. I suggest that you take the other 59, take them to your local park, take a bit of lighter fluid, put them on the ground, and burn them. That was shit house.
That was 8 hours.
That was 8 hours work, was it?
8 hours work, editing, researching, the whole thing. Average that out across 60. No way.
60 working days.
60 working days for this segment.
No, I still say go just burn them. Just burn the rest. Scott, it's time to throw to our listeners' letters.
No, it's not.
No, I beg your pardon.
That's right, Daniel. I've been working hard behind the scenes during this 5-month hiatus, and it was agreed between the Simpleton Podcast editorial team and myself, in order to boost flagging morale amongst the staff, to initiate a brand new Employee of the Month award, Daniel, the inaugural awardation, if that's a word, of which is today, right now.
Right.
To be frank. Something to say?
Okay, go.
Okay. Who has the envelope?
Let me just hand it to you, Scott.
Okay. Thank you. Simpletons. Daniel, the inaugural Employee of the Month award, created by the editorial team to boost flagging morale amongst staff, goes to Greg and Mike. Greg and Mike are currently not around to collect the award, Daniel, but a laminated A4 award will be blue-tacked onto the wall at the Simpleton Podcast Studios in Melbourne, and Greg and Mike will have their $5 voucher at Thrifty Link Hardware posted to them forthwith. How about that? Isn't that exciting?
Well, that's if we can get their address right, Scott. I'm not actually sure where each one is living at the moment. Just on that, Scott, I don't want to drop people in it, but I had one of those two over here last week.
Yeah.
And he or she came over at around about 7:30, and we had a beer, and then one beer led to another beer, and we had a bit of a chat. And we listened to a few tunes, watched some YouTube videos, talked about old times, and before you know it, person in question's mobile was ringing away, buzzing away in his right top jean pocket. And he answered the phone, and, you know, it was pretty late at night. It was around about 4:30 and in the morning. And all I could hear was, hello. And then on the other end, I could hear was, where the fuck are you? And then about 4 or 5 minutes after that, after watching half a clip of Cold Chisel on YouTube, the unnamed person said, mate, I am going to have to fucking go. And he got up and left, and I haven't heard from him since, but I know he or she is well.
That's it.
But anyway, Scott.
That's good.
It's time for listeners' letters. Dear listeners, we could not do this without you. You know that. And without you, we haven't been doing it. So we value your correspondence very deeply. We value it very, very deeply indeed. And so if you have any correspondence that you would like to shoot Scott and I, that's not correspondence about how you would like to shoot Scott and I, that it's correspondence you'd like to shoot to us via email, then please send any correspondence you have via contact at simpletonpodcasts.com. simpletonpodcasts.com. That is contact@simpletonpodcasts.com. Scotty, I believe you have the first letter.
I do. This is from Miles Lapel, Canberra ACT. And what he says...
It's ACT.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is in capital letters. And this is what Miles says. Guys, I just have to ask you about the so-called listeners' letters segment. Are they real? Are they made up? Are some real, some made up? Do you even go as far as to make up the identities of some of the letter writers, if not all? It's driving me bonkers. Did you write this letter too? Do I even exist? Thanks for caring. Daniel.
I tell you what, that's taking skepticism to the next level, isn't it?
Yeah. He makes some valid points.
Well, but my basic point to you, Miles, is if you didn't write it, then how do we have it and how are we reading out now? You know, did it just
bingo.
Imagine itself?
Yeah, bingo. Exactly. Slam dunk. Exactly. You've got letter two.
Yeah. Aced that one. Aced it.
Aced it, yep.
Yes, this I have the second letter, as I always do, Scott. This letter comes from Anonymous of Ringwood East. I seem to think that Ringwood East is a fairly sort of common place for us to receive correspondence from. Unnamed people might want to get more imaginative. Scott, Anonymous writes... Oh, dear. Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anonymous. Scott, you have the third letter.
Yeah, I reckon you'll like this one. It's from Parlance Grooves, Dubbo, New South Wales.
Fantastic.
This is what he... And I know, Daniel, you've been wanting to take this podcast in a more... philosophical direction. I reckon Parlance is the man or woman.
Okay, let's see what Parlance has got to say.
I just have to ask you this. This is from Parlance. If there was a massive asteroid heading straight for Earth, nothing could be done about it, and we knew that everything on Earth was certain to be wiped out upon impact, which would you prefer? Would you rather be wiped out along with humanity or die of a bite from a venomous snake a week beforehand? There are pros and cons with both options, but I think I'd go with the snake.
Yeah, see, that's deep. That's very deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the only two options that Parlance has given us.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So... jumping out of a whorehouse from the fifth floor in Tokyo is not a way to go, no?
Not a way to go, one or the other.
So your options are to be wiped out with the rest of humanity or to be die a slow, painful death from a venomous snake, say, let's say a brown snake. I would prefer to be wiped out. We could riff on this all night, but I would prefer to be wiped out along with the rest of humanity, because I know that if I'm bitten by a brown snake or a yellow-bellied brown snake or a tiger snake or a scorpion or whatever it might be, then I'm going to die a slow, horrible, painful death. Whereas humanity's never been wiped out before.
No.
So I don't know what's in store. So there's a bit of mystery, Scott. So I'll have to go with the former instead of the latter. What about you, mate?
The snake, and two reasons. There's a bit of individualism about it as compared or opposed to going out with the rest of humanity. And plus...
Yeah, you don't want to be sheep, do you?
that's well put. But also, I'd like to think that I'll have a nice obituary. Who would write it for you in the event of the asteroid strike?
Who would write your obituary?
Anyone's.
Oh, who would write... Oh, yes. Oh, good. See, that's a good question.
Mm.
Probably Keith Richards, because you're probably the only one to survive it. There you go. Thanks, Parlance. And if people, we're happy to set up a philosophy corner on this podcast if people want to be as deep as Parlance was. We really are happy to do that. We really are.
But
tell you what, Scott, that's the end of the podcast. Is there anything in the week ahead that I or other simpletons should be aware of?
5-month potential hiatus.
Yes. Look, I have to go along with that. in the week ahead, there could be a potential 5-month hiatus. No matter how well intended we are to do this again same time next week, just be prepared to just for us to vanish off the face of the earth. We'll try not to. Because we want those Patreon dollars to keep rolling in. And look, Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Daniel. Simpletons.